You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for What's Up with Deputy Opposition Leader Nicola Willis.
Morena, Nicola. It's great to have you on the show. How are you this morning?
Morena. Very well, thank you. Good to be on the show.
Lots to talk about. Let's start with water, because obviously we're in a post-disaster state and we're still seeing quite a lot of relentless weather across the country. And that's really prompted people to think about our water infrastructure, given it's been a hot-button topic in the last year anyway. The National Party has announced that if in government, it would scrap the Three Waters Plan and deliver local water well, is the way that you're phrasing it. Now, this has been criticised by a lot of groups. What are the principles that you're trying to push through with this potential legislation?
It's also been praised by a lot of groups, including a large group of local councils who have worked together under the banner Communities for Local Democracy. And the principles that we've put into our scheme are, one, that we do need to do a better job of ensuring we have high water standards, that two, there needs to be some oversight of local plans for investing in water infrastructure over the longer run, over the next 30 years. But that three, we should ensure that local communities have some ownership and control of their water assets. So our model gives them the opportunity to work together to form regionally owned organisations that can then make plans for their water infrastructure, make long-term borrowing to fund those investments, and that they will get held to a really high standard. So it retains local ownership, retains the local voice, and ensures a lift in quality standards.
So how would you expect local councils particularly to fund this type of infrastructure? We know that local councils are pretty slammed financially at the moment, and it's not going to be an easy fix. What kind of support would central government be expected to bring to that conversation then?
Well, what we expect is that these entities, because they will take the water assets into these regional organisations, will be able to access borrowing in a way that they can't when they're just sitting in the one council. And that means that they'll be able to take long-term loans, you know, 30-year loans, and pay them off over time. And we think that's appropriate because these are long-held assets. Pipes don't just last for the next 5 years, they last for the next 30, 40 or 50 years. So it's appropriate that communities pay them off over that period of time. In this sense, it is similar with Labor's plan, because it doesn't matter whether it's Labor or National, someone's going to have to pay for the pipes, the culverts and the drains that New Zealand needs over the coming decades. Our plan says let's do that in a way that continues to give communities a local voice and control.
Now, removing co-governance from the conversation has been, I think, perhaps one of the bits that's taken up a lot of media attention in the last wee while. Co-governance as a conversation has been a big hot-button topic. What is it about that as a concept that is, I guess, concerning to the National Party? Is there not a place for Māori sovereignty in this conversation, particularly when we're talking water?
Well, Māori absolutely have rights and interests in water, and it's important that they're recognised in the way that water is managed locally. And in fact, at the moment, councils around the country come to a variety of different arrangements to ensure that's the case, depending on the way their local iwi work, depending on the relationships in place, and depending on what makes sense for that region. And we want that to continue. We don't think this is a one-size-fits-all issue. And we also think it's important that there be democratic accountability, that there not be a central imposition that this is the way you will govern your water. Here's the requisite requirement
but
from
is
government.
I don't believe that is what's being proposed necessarily. And this, I mean, co-governance has been something that the National Party has really championed in the past. It's also been something that we saw when the earthquakes happened in Christchurch. The National Party was really supportive of Kaitahu being part of the governing body with ECAN. Why is this languaging different now?
Well, it is what we're proposing, and what we have said historically is that where there are treaty claims that have been made, where there have been breaches of property rights and treaty rights, that sometimes an appropriate way for resolving those claims is through co-governance structures. And you saw that, for example, with the Whanganui River. But as we look to the future, when we look at public service delivery as opposed to management of natural resources, we don't think it's appropriate for the state to mandate levels in this way. We do think that Māori rights and interests can and should continue to be met, but we don't think a rigid co-governance 50-50 structure will always be the way to do that.
Okay, well, let's talk about the cyclone again. This is obviously going to be a very long recovery process. What does the National Party see as priorities at the moment in that recovery?
Well, we're still in the phase of needing to prioritise human life and livelihoods. And what that means is making sure that people have shelter, that they have housing, and that we're starting to restore their jobs and their ability to provide for their families. So we are still at the stage where civil defence are having to fly supplies for cut-off families and communities. It's important that continue, but that we start to help with the rebuild so that those orchards can remove the silt, they can get back to employing people, so that that's the case for businesses across the district. And so people can know, where am I actually going to be able to live for the next year or two while permanent housing is rebuilt? So we've seen that the government has that focus. We support them in those efforts. And then longer term, the question is, how do we make sure we efficiently and fast rebuild that critical infrastructure, the bridges, the roads, the connections needed in those communities?
What about climate change resilience? Where does the National Party sit on that type of rebuilding and long-term resilience?
Well, it's really clear to us that not only in these specifically affected communities will we need to make sure that infrastructure that's rebuilt is more resilient to future extreme weather events that will occur with climate change, but that also as we look across the country and we are prioritising infrastructure investment, that we ensure we have a mind to climate change effects. So where can we expect that there will be more flooding, more extreme weather events, more erosion, and what implications does that have for our infrastructure investment? We think it's going to be a time of really careful prioritisation. We don't, for example, think that it makes sense to be embarking on a $30 billion light rail project. We would like to see funds prioritised for regional connections, regional roads that have already taken a hammering and will continue to take a hammering as climate change continues over these next coming decades.
What about managed retreat? That's something we're starting to see quite a lot of conversation about with people who have now seen that their houses are in flood zones and it's not necessarily going to be tenable for them to ever move back to those spaces. That's a really massive thing that people will have to reckon with in their lives. What's the National Party's position on that? Who should be funding that type of retreat and support?
It is a massive issue because we have to ensure that anything that we do for one family or in one community is fair and works to a set of criteria and standards that are then replicable across the country. And so we think that this is something that the government needs to work with councils, with insurers, with frankly scientific and engineering experts to determine what those criteria may be in some cases and what any form of support might look like. We accept that these are issues that go over multiple governments, and so our climate change spokesperson Todd Muller has reached out to James Shaw, the climate change minister, and agreed to work in a bipartisan way to see if there are some frameworks we can come up with together across the parliament that will stand the test of time.
Now, I imagine it's been a bit of a frustrating week for the National Party with Maureen Pugh's comments about waiting to see evidence of climate change, which she's, of course, walked back now. But, I mean, there is still a bigger question there. We're waiting to see real policy from the National Party leading into the election year around climate change. What are going to be the National Party's key issues when it comes to climate resilience, climate preparedness, and heading into thinking economically about how we support this into the future?
Well, National's really proud of its track record when it comes to climate change, right from the Rio Declaration through to signing Paris, making New Zealand's national commitments to reducing emissions, signing up for the Zero Carbon Act, supporting the creation of the Climate Change Commission.
But policies heading into this year, what are we going to see from National?
Two key areas. The first is our plan for emission reduction. as we look to the future, we think that it's going to be necessary that more of New Zealand's electricity come from renewable sources, but that we also have more abundant, affordable electricity provision, because we want to see more and more of our industrial processes, of our transport, running off electricity. So we are looking at the regulatory and investment settings needed to make that big transformation. But we are also looking across our emissions profile and thinking about what it's going to take to keep people on that journey of emission reduction. The second bit is adaptation. And as I said, we're very focused on what are the infrastructure investments that are going to be needed to make New Zealand resilient as climate change makes its effects very well known. And you will be hearing more from us on that as well.
Just very lastly, before we let you go, Nicola, where's the tax cuts in this conversation? We know we're going to need major infrastructure investment. We need it right now. We're going to need it in the future in new ways as well. Where is the National Party sitting on your policies around tax cuts?
We remain committed to income tax reduction. And that's for the simple reason that we think that New Zealanders are being overtaxed and deserve to keep more of what they earn.
Well, how
the tax take has gone up significantly. And when we look at where that money's going, there has been a lot of waste across the system, whether that's the growth in the bureaucracy, whether that's the hundreds of millions being spent on consultancy fees, whether it's the pet political projects like the TVNZ-RNZ merger. Our view is that a government that is really focused on delivering value can also let people keep more of what they earn. And as we saw after the Canterbury earthquakes, where the national government borrowed but then repaid that funding, if we are disciplined about spending, we can both ensure that people can get ahead in their own households and the country as a whole can make good, long-lasting investments.
Okay, well, we'll talk about this again another time. Nicola, it's great to have you on the show. Always a pleasure to have a chat, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Kia pai tō rānei. Have a good one.
That was What's Up with Deputy Opposition Leader Nicola Willis.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.